Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Spooky Tales for Edna. I am Sir Sinister, and I will be your guide through these spooky stories, these terrifying tales, these yelp-inducing yarns. And just like any good spooky spiel, it starts with Once Upon a Time. Pizza delivery. Once upon a time, in a smog-filled city, a boy was racing to deliver a lukewarm pizza. His scooter buzzed feverishly, like a fat bumblebee in a strong wind. "Come on, you stupid thing," Kyle hissed through his slightly crooked teeth. You see, this was Kyle's 10th late delivery this week, and Mr. Gas was not going to be happy. He scrunched up his acne-covered face in concentration. He couldn't be late for this one. He might lose his job. As Kyle whizzed down streets and alleyways, trying to get there in time, a flickering green traffic light stared at him as he approached. "Come on, come on, come on," he thought. As if the traffic light was sticking out its tongue and blowing a raspberry, it switched off, and a more sinister-looking red light flashed on. Stop. Kyle's scooter spluttered to a stop as he watched a pesky pedestrian cross the busy road. Did they not know he was late? He propped his scooter up on one of his long, gangly legs and flashed his dark eyes menacingly at the old lady taking a small dog for a walk. She smiled and waved back jovially. He really needed to work on his evil stares. A loud honk woke him from his anger-induced daydream. Now he was making himself late. His scooter groaned in annoyance as he chugged away towards his destination. 10 minutes later, Kyle was standing in front of a deserted-looking block of flats. His scooter now propped up against the dustbin. The kickstand had long abandoned ship during a particularly hazardous delivery. He climbed the stairs to the third floor.
"What time do you call this?"
said a sharp-nosed lady through a chained gap at her door.
"I'm only 3 minutes late,"
Carl huffed, trying to keep his professionalism intact.
"By my watch, you're 5 minutes late. Isn't your slogan, 'If we're too slow, pizzas are on Appetito Joe'?"
Kyle glared at her as she unhooked the chain and let the door swing open to reveal a nest of old pizza boxes, Chinese food containers, and a half-full cat litter tray.
"Fine,"
Kyle spat as she snatched the pizza box from him.
"Cold?"
she wailed, as if someone had mistaken her nose for a nail and struck it with a hammer.
"I'll be making a complaint about you!"
Kyle turned as she continued to fling insults. He shrugged them off and continued down the stairs.
"And the pizza marinara is no good anymore! You hear me?"
That one stung. You see, if Appetito Joe, the name of the pizza place if you didn't get that already, was good for anything, it was for its pizza marinara. And I'm with you, a pizza without cheese? What's the point? But once you had taken one bite of this heavenly disc, you'd quickly change your tune. Yet, Pencil Nose was right. Things had changed. The pizza was bad. Kyle pushed the thought from his mind and, picking up his bike that had fallen from its dustbin perch, sped off in the direction of the restaurant. Now, listener, if you think that the worst is a late pizza delivery, you are sadly mistaken. So I suggest you go and do something nice and calming before it gets scary. No? Well, I hope you've brought a change of underwear, as this is about to get freaky.
"Another late delivery, Kyle."
Mr. Gas slumped behind his desk. He was a short, bulky man who, ironically, had a face that looked like a pizza that had been dropped in its box. Wrinkles on his face forced rolls of skin into awkward positions, and his nose was flat and wide like someone had gone at it with a rolling pin.
"I was only 3 minutes late. She looked as if she was getting a free meal from every place in town doing the offer that, if it's late, it's free."
Mr. Gass's face tried to pull off an angry frown, but it got lost in all the wrinkles. Instead, he decided on a long sigh and sagged deeper into his chair.
"She also said..."
Kyle paused as he looked at Mr. Gas, who was now looking more deflated than a party balloon that had been sat on.
"That our pizza marinara was no good anymore." As Kyle expected, Mr. Gass sank even lower in his chair at this news. He opened his mouth like a clueless cod and then let it flap close again. Kyle stared at him, searching for something to say or do to cheer him up, but was spared the awkward silence when Mr. Gass stood.
"I'm going away for a little while," he said. "Not too long, but I was wondering if you could fill in for me, Kyle, as manager."
Kyle couldn't believe what he was hearing. Earlier tonight, he thought he was going to lose his job, and now he was getting... "A promotion?" Kyle ventured.
"It's only temporary,"
said Mr. Gass, as he circled his table to retrieve his moth-eaten coat from the back of the door.
"Well?"
he said, pushing his left arm through one of the sleeves.
"Will you do it?"
Of course," said Kyle, a little too eagerly. "But where are you going?"
"Never mind that. Just look after this place and the other workers. Any problems, just call my wife. She'll know what to do. And get that creaky door fixed."
5 minutes later, Kyle was locking up with his newly acquired set of keys and waving goodbye to Mr. Gass, who was already halfway down the street. He looked up at the buzzing neon sign of Appetito's Joe's and imagined his own name being up there. Appetito Kyle's. It had a ring to it. Now, dear listener, if you think this is a story of a young boy who found his lucky break, you are sorely mistaken. This pizza pie is barely beginning to cook. Kyle couldn't sleep. His mind was buzzing as loud as his scooter at full speed. He was a manager. He tried calling his mother earlier, but had forgotten she was on another one of her singles cruises. Kyle never knew his father, but didn't have many friends either, so he had no one to share his excitement with. When he had got home earlier, he had bumped into his neighbour and tried telling him, to little success. He looked through Kyle as if he was a pane of glass and then scurried back into his adjacent apartment. Kyle now laid wide awake on his bed, and his alarm clock blinked 2 a.m. at him mockingly. In the end, he decided he needed to take a walk to clear his head, and why not down to see his new pizza place? Energetically, Kyle strutted down the deserted streets. He even attempted a whistle, but it came out as a fountain of spit, so he stopped. As he turned the corner to the street where Appetito Joe's resided, his heart skipped a beat. He felt like Romeo meeting Juliet in the dead of night. If, of course, Juliet was a greasy, run-down pizza place. He beamed as he saw her, when suddenly he noticed a light was on inside the shop. He swore he'd switched everything off. Didn't he? Kyle quickened his pace. His love-struck heart was now flooding with panic. Luckily, he'd brought his keys. He had just left a light on, no big deal. He reached the front door and fumbled with the keys in the dark. Click. He made his way in, closing the door behind him. The kitchen light was on. He took a step towards it. When he heard crying. Muffled sobs now crept under the door of the illuminated kitchen. Someone was here. Kyle's heart was now dancing the can-can in his throat. He took another step forward. The sobbing grew louder, and then he could hear whispering. Hundreds of little voices whispering like a gentle breeze. Kyle strained his ears. He couldn't make out what they were saying, but the sobbing kept growing louder. He was now right outside the door. His breathing was more ragged, and his heart felt like it was going to explode.
"But why? Why do I have to?"
croaked a pained voice through sniffs and sobs. "Mr. Gass?" Kyle pressed his ear up against the kitchen door when... creak! The door swung slowly on its hinge. Everything stopped. Silence. The light clicked off. Kyle froze in terror. Now, dear listener, this is where poor old Kyle's story takes a turn for the worse. I have now warned you countless times, but I will proceed to try and do so again. So stop listening now. You won't regret it. Still no? Well, there's nothing more I can do, is there? Kyle's heart was now deafening. Nothing in his body seemed to be working. He now knew exactly how his poor scooter felt. Suddenly, something scooped him up and flung him through the kitchen door. He laid there, sprawled out in the darkness when, click, the light flickered back on and...
Kyle, What are you doing here?
Kyle lifted his head and saw Mr. Gas balanced on a high stool over a large cooking pot.
What am I doing here? What are you doing here?
Kyle said, not understanding the situation at all.
You need to go now, before you see too much.
What? I don't understand. Why are you here? What are you?
An eerie chorus of whispering cut him off, and right before his very eyes, a ghoulish gang of sinister-looking ghosts appeared out of thin air. Kyle's throat tightened, and his eyelids flickered dangerously. He didn't understand. The ghosts circled him and Mr. Gas, yet Mr. Gas didn't look terrified. He just looked sad.
He knows too much,
whispered the ghostly gang in unison. Kyle finally got to his feet. Mr. Gas's calmness gave him strength, and then finally Mr. Gas spoke.
No, he doesn't. He's just a kid. Let me explain to him.
Now Kyle was standing. He could see what was in a large cooking pot. It was a bubbling mass of molten marinara sauce.
Explain what?
Mr. Gas shot him a look to be quiet and began to tell the story. Now, listener, you can choose to believe or not believe this tale, but this is how it was told that very night. I beg you not to jump to any conclusions before this story is over. Long ago, when Appetito Joe's first started, it was owned by Mr. Gas's great-great-great-grandfather. He was a sweet and kind man named Joe. Everyone in the street loved to chat and laugh with him, but no one wanted to eat at his pizza place. This was because all his pizzas tasted like toxic sewage on bread. Joe tried cookbooks, cooking lessons, new ingredients, but nothing worked. It stayed the same. One night, while slaving over a new batch of marinara sauce, there was a knock on the shop door. He called from the kitchen they were closed for the night, but the visitor persisted and knocked again. Wiping his hands on a dishcloth, Joe made his way to the front door to find a man wrapped in an old trench coat. His face was covered by a large, wiry beard. Joe explained that they were closed and he would have to come back in the morning if he wanted a pizza. Then the man showed him a yellowed, toothy grin and stepped inside without hesitation. To Joe's surprise, he stepped back and let him and watched as he made his way into his kitchen. Annoyed by his own frailty, he stormed after him, and as he opened the kitchen door, saw the man's long bony finger dipping into the bubbling marinara sauce. He brought up his skeletal fingertip to his lips and tasted the ruby red sauce. The man winced and spat it out immediately. Cross but curious, Joe stepped forwards, explaining he'd tried every ingredient under the sun to improve the recipe, but nothing would work. The strange man smiled a wicked smile and pointed one long finger at Joe. Something sprang into Joe's mind, and without even thinking about the consequences, Joe dived headfirst into the bubbling pot. The next morning, Joe's son, who worked with him as a chef, came into the restaurant concerned that his father never came home. He expected to find him asleep on the counter as usual, but all he found was a bubbling pot of marinara sauce. Still worried about his father, but curious about his new recipe, the son dipped his finger into the bubbling sauce. His taste buds exploded with happiness. Nothing had ever tasted so good since the dawn of time. And so it went on. Joe was never found, but the business was showered in fame and fortune. People came from miles around to taste the amazing marinara pizza. Until one night, 40 years later, when business hadn't been going so well and the sauce had lost its luster, there was a knock on the pizzeria's window. Mr. Gas stopped. Kyle's eyes were wide. He looked between the pot and his boss and back again. Now he thought about it. Mr. Gas was his only friend, almost family.
Surely you're not thinking of...
There's no other choice, my boy,
interrupted Mr. Gas.
This is the destiny of my family.
He indicated to the ghostly gathering that encircled them, and Kyle understood.
These were the owners that had come before, and this understanding dawned on him as the ghoulish accompaniment started to sing.
We are the ghosts of the merry murderers. We make pizza so perfectly. We are the ghosts of the merry murderers. They're so delicious that you don't need cheese. We are the ghosts of the merry murderers. Round discs that are so heavenly. We are the ghosts of the merry murderers. Hope that our sacrifice please. We can't stop till we hear that knock. That's our lot, so we jump into the pot. We are the ghosts of Merry Murders. We make it so perfectly. We are the ghosts of Merry Murders. So delicious that you don't need cheese. We are the ghosts of the merry murderers. Saucy round is so heavenly. We are the ghosts of the merry murderers. And I hope that our sacrifice pleases. We can't stop till we hear that knock. That's our lot, so we jump into the pot. We are the ghosts of the merry murderers.
As the final note was sung, Mr. Gass turned to Kyle, one tear racing down his face, and then plunged headfirst into the pot. Kyle raced over to stop him, but a long-fingered hand clamped over his shoulder. A bearded man with gnarled yellow teeth smiled at Kyle as he watched in horror as the sauce continued to bubble. Now, dear listener, you might be thinking, what happened to poor Kyle? Well, he tried his best to understand what happened that night. The police investigated the restaurant and found nothing, and for a while, Kyle was their main suspect of the disappearance of Mr. Gass. Until one day, Mr. Gass's wife came forward with a note explaining that he had fled the country with his newly found mistress. Kyle knew this wasn't true, but could not tell the real story. They'd think he was crazy, or worse, a murderer. Instead, he threw himself into the business. As Mr. Gass had no children, Kyle had done as he was instructed, keep the business alive. In that respect, the business was more alive than ever. It was booming. Their restaurants reached new heights, was featured in the best food magazines. This continued for year after year, until one night, around 40 years later, Kyle was slaving away in the kitchen, his family safe at home, when there was a knock on the pizzeria window. Now, dear listener, you may ask, how do I know such a gruesome tale? Well, it was I who first pushed poor Joe into that pot. Good night.